All right, looks like we're live. All right, so what's up, everybody? This is Marshall Couture, also known as Plex of DonkeyJawProjects.com, and you're listening to episode number 70 of the Escape Artist Podcast with special guests once again, 2 weeks in a row, Mr. Peter Palmiotti. How you doing, man?
Hello, hello. Doing good. Trying to catch up homework.
Absolutely. Work, work, work. So, and I guess today's kind of my special birthday episode, just because it happens
Happy
to be my
birthday.
birthday. Oh, here we go again.
Yeah.
I gotta turn off my YouTube thing. Where is it?
Yeah, this should really make it automatically off.
Yeah. Well, it's my own fault for being plugged in. I probably, shouldn't necessarily be plugged in there. So, all right. So now the feedback is gone for me. I don't. You guys probably didn't hear that because I had my headphones on. But, so yeah, man. Man, we had a pretty cool episode last week, right? That
Was excellent.
was super fun. I'm glad. I was so glad that we were able to both do it together. It was like perfect. So. I feel bad because like there was so well it's not really my fault so how about that because I kind of wish you were able to be more involved because I asked all the questions but at the same time well you asked a few at the end there but Dan really took the show he was like the type of guy you just interview and it's like the easiest interview in the world you just ask a question and he goes on for 20 minutes.
Yeah, personally, I thought it was really smooth, and I was thinking of jumping in, but they're really, it went so smooth. It's like you say, he took the show over his hands and ran with it, and yeah, I thought it went perfectly, so I didn't have a problem with that. And he's such a nice guy. He posted it on his YouTube page as well. I don't know if you saw that.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Just to mention, he did a storefront. You saw that, right?
Oh, yeah, that was really cool.
That was awesome. He did a drawing on the glass, but it was just like immense drawing. He said it was his first big drawing,
Right.
but that's really awesome. He's a great guy, talented, definitely.
Absolutely. And if anybody here is tuning in and didn't listen to last week's episode, that was an interview with Dan Fraga or Fraga. I used to always before I heard his videos, I always called him Fraga. I thought that's how you said it, but apparently it's not. So Dan Fraga and he used to work for Extreme Studios doing artwork for Bloodstrike and his own title Black Flag, and he's been a professional artist ever since in different ways. So I don't know. It was a really good interview. Kind of a dream come true for me because I was a fan of Black Flag growing up and stuff. So that was really cool. And he's pretty much become a bit of a friend. We've been talking back and forth, so that was cool too. So yeah, anyways, that if you want to check that out, that was last week's episode, episode 69. So and today, of course, we have Peter on again, which is really awesome. And we wanted to talk about, especially right in the beginning, and we'll probably bring it up again in the end, but I wanted to help Peter out a little bit here and do a little promotion for his GoFundMe because I guess he's had a bit of a catastrophe and is looking to move for some reason. So I guess well, how about you talk about that for a little bit here?
Yeah, without giving the full story, I don't know, it'd take a couple hours. But no, the short version is that we're living in this community and it's got rules, but we've been here 2 years is, and they're almost forcing them. There's plenty of other people with pets, and we got pets, but they had an inspection a while back, and then everybody started getting notices in their mail stating that, you know, so that you have a pet, you have to pay the charge, blah, blah, blah. And, you know, we knew coming in, but, you know, we didn't really have the cash, and nobody else paid. But like I said, they enforced it. So the drag of it is that we have four pets, and we can only have one here.
Right.
You know, we have four cats. So it wasn't simply a matter of, you know, paying for all the cats to be here. We can only have one, and so we had to find, we looked into getting friends to take some of our cats, you know, just looked around for cat services, animal services, and just recently we found a sanctuary, a cat sanctuary, where they'll be willing to, you know, house our cats for an extended period of time until we can move out of here and get in a better situation where we can have all of them together.
Right. So,
you know, my girlfriend and fiance Lisa looked around at homes, at rentals, at mobile homes, all kinds of different things in town and outside of town. But in the same area, Lisa's family is here, and you know, personally, I don't care where I live. As long as I can, you know, catch a plane somewhere near here, I'm fine with that. And so we went through a couple of different solutions, you know, places to live. You know, a lot of them have similar rules. A lot of them, like, you know, you can only have one pet, or they don't want cats or dogs or whatever tearing things up, or, you know, in homes and stuff. So really the only two solutions we found were a mobile home, but that didn't work. It was just smaller than where we're living now, and we're crunched in as it is, so we wanted something bigger, and a house we found, which, you know, actually turned out to be a home with attachments. So, you know, we can move there. You know, there's it's a fixer-upper. There's a lot of work involved. But we took a look at the house twice and really fell in love with it. It's a good piece of land it's on, and it's three bedrooms, so we can each have our own studio, as well as the master bedroom, which is huge. And plenty of room for the cats to run around, and, you know, and plus, you know, most of them, you know, they all like going outside. Only two of them go outside all the time. But, you know, the option is there. You get to play outside. And what else? There's a lot of work that's going to be needs to be done, but we'll be able to move in there, get some things fixed, and get all the cats there and live all together. So that's right. The short version.
Did you say it's a mobile home with attachments?
Yeah, it's actually it was a mobile home that they added a huge two-car garage, and on the right side is actually the kitchen, dining room and living room, are new to, were added to it as well.
Right. Yeah, it looks like almost like a ranch type of house, but now that you're saying that, yeah. I can see that, and that garage is huge. Holy crap. That's your new studio.
Yeah, it's
right?
We can move in there, like split the garage in half and have storage for other people.
Wow. Nice.
You know, it's so big. But yeah, you know, I'm sure you'll put the link in the description box.
It's already in there.
It's a big house, a good piece of land. The neighbors are, you know, far away, farther than anywhere I've lived. I'm from New York, so we're all on top of each other there.
Yeah.
But we have it's a big house. That will definitely suit us for the rest of our lives, really. And, you know, it's nothing we were looking to do today, but we did think down the line, you know, we'll rent a house, we'll buy a house a couple years from now. But this is an opportunity not only to keep all our pets, but to, you know, get a home for ourselves. For, you know, really cheap, you know. Yes, that's because it needs work, and I'm sure part of that's because it's just, you know, originally it was a mobile home, but it's really a deal we can't possibly pass up. So we created the GoFundMe, and, you know, anyone who wants to help out can go there and pledge any amount, or, you know, at the very least, share it with your friends, get the word out, you know. I appreciate it, Lisa appreciates it, and all our pets will definitely appreciate it.
Absolutely, and, you know, just to kind of further add a little bit here is, you know, I don't know how long it's been, maybe 5 years, or it seems like forever, but, you know, in internet years, but it's been a while since me and you started talking here and there on the onlines and internets and you know, if nothing else, you know, Peter has, I know for sure, invested in time and effort and just friendship in my life, and he's always been there as an encouraging person and helpful and giving me tips here and there. I actually look to, like, guys like you and Jeff Lafferty and Kevin Cross as, like, kind of mentors for me. And, I mean, you're nothing but generous, you know, when it comes to helping other artists and just being friends and stuff and sharing people's links and things like that. Like, so, I mean, to me, like, when I found out that the GoFundMe thing was finally live, I mean, it was like, you know, within the hour, I, you know, threw some money in there. You know, I don't have a lot of money myself, but, you know, I threw something in there because it's like, it's a no-brainer, you know. He helps a lot of us out in different ways and is just friendly, and there's no reason, you know, of course I want to help out, you know, because, you know, I kind of feel your pain, and I think it's kind of investing into basically your career too in some ways, because, you know, you're going to have a base of operations, and, you know, you'll be able to have, like you said, your cats and your fiance and stuff. You'll have, like, a nice place to just, like, really just do what you need to do and stuff. So I don't know, it's kind of, I think it's cool, and you know, I definitely like, I don't know, to me, I just feel like it's going to a good thing, you know, it's going to a good place. So if anybody out there is interested in, you know, helping Peter out, you know, throw maybe $20 in there or whatever you can. And yeah, I don't know if we'll get any listeners live, but it would be cool if we could kind of boost that thing up to maybe like 100 more or something, or 50 more or whatever, while we're doing this broadcast. That'd be sweet. But, you know, that's all. I guess that's all I'll say about that. But I just really, you know, I really believe in in what Peter's doing, and he's dedicated to comics. You know, I mean, I've never, but when everybody, including myself, is saying, you know, comics is a dead end, you know, job place to try to get work. You know, Peter, all the while, Peter's holding the torch and doing it. You know, he's doing, you know, paying bills with his inking work and doing what he needs to do. And, you know, it's sometimes it's more of a struggle than others, but, you know, he's an encouragement to me for sure, because, you know, a lot of times I, you know, I'm a little down on the whole comics thing as a career for my own self, but it's kind of crazy. Like, you just can't stop doing it. Once you get it in your blood, it just doesn't go away. So I will end up doing comics, you know, so. And it's awesome to have somebody out there who's actually, you know, making it work, you know, so.
Yeah, you know, it's, I won't deny that it's difficult, and it is that sort of thing you take on, and it's not a quick job, you know, like doing an issue of a comic takes a long time, you know.
Right.
It takes, if you're doing it with a team individually, it could take 3 weeks to a month, you know, for a penciler to work on a book, for an anchor to work on a book, for a colorist to work on a book. If you're doing it alone, it takes even longer, and anybody following any of D100 knows that, you know, this stuff doesn't happen overnight, especially if you have a day job or just client work, paying work, whatever. We're doing it in between everything else in life and stuff. I'll never deny that. You know, it's like any job. You know, it's really have to put 110% in to get anything out of it. And it is a difficult territory out there, as far as you know, it's easy to promote your book, but it's not easy to get people to buy it or to rave about it. And, you know, it's right. All a process. But you know, I've been doing comics since 1991. Just recently, I sort of shifted. You know, what my plan was. You know, I was trying to make just money. Working on my own creations, comic books, doing art, you know, I was doing sketch cards and illustrations and commissions and all that. And I was making some progress, but I decided to make the shift back into inking because, you know, we're falling a little behind on bills, which, you know, we are caught up on most of them right now, which is great. But it's something I you know, I'm 110% confident in my ability. The page rates aren't what they used to be, but I know I can, you know, cover the cost of our living status. You know, it's like we're not living a high life out here. Even moving into the house we're going to be moving into, the course will almost be the same. We'll be paying a little more for utilities and whatnot, because everything's sort of included over here. But you know, we're not seeking a $100,000 house or $1 million house or something.
Yeah.
So you know, like. But I love the comic industry. I love creating stories, no matter how I'm a part of it. And with what I got going on now, I see myself extremely busy, not only working on other people's creations, but my goal is to do my own as well. You know, it's sort of like the biggest challenge before me is how to accomplish this wise. You know, it's difficult by itself to work on one of your own personal creations. Like I got my book called Bright Eyes, which will kind of be my main focus, because that's all me. I'm writing it, penciling it, inking it, I'll be coloring it, lettering it, all that jazz. So I can totally, utterly work via my own schedule. And, you know, it's hard enough to do one book. I got that. I got a comic book strip called Neon Eden, which, you know, I do have a co-writer on that. I have my superhero title, which all goes well. I'll be kickstarting this year, called Red, and I have a team on that. You know, I have a penciler, a friend of mine.
What's the name of that? It blacked out right when you said the title.
Yeah, Retro.
Okay, Retro. Okay.
Yeah, Retro, my superhero title. Rich Future is the penciler, and I'll be inking as well as writing. I got a colorist, a letterer, you know, so it'd be a whole team, and I really want to, you know, pay these guys some money to be working on that. So I don't know if I can make that a real, like, you know, I'd love to make it a bi-monthly, but not unless we have the funds to do that. But I'll kickstart an issue at a time. I'm not sure what the big picture on that will be, but I do know, you know, it'll be a good-looking superhero title.
Absolutely. Cool, man. Yeah, so that's awesome. You know, obviously you're super busy right now, but I think it's really encouraging with, like, what Kevin's doing and stuff, and, I mean, I think that's why D100s has become such a big thing, because his thing is so encouraging, because he's pretty much 100% busy with what he has to do, taking care of his daughter and, you know, working on client work, but he's still finding, you know, 30 minutes a day to do his own thing. And, you know, and you're super busy right now, so I can understand why you're not able to do that just yet, but, I'm sure you will be in the future, you know, jumping on that again. You know, you already did it 100 days, so, and you got a lot of progress done, you know.
Yeah, it is on my to-do list. I will be coming back to D100s. I figure, you know, like I want a new schedule as well as deal with this whole house situation. If I move, I don't want to be in the middle of moving and 100 days as well.
Yeah, that would be really hard. Pretty much when you move, a lot of times, pretty much everything stops for at least a week or two, if not more.
Yeah.
Especially when it's a fixer-upper.
Yeah. There's a lot I'll be doing to the house to get it started and continuing to make it better.
Years from now, when you're a famous comic book artist, you know, we'll be talking about the story of when you moved and the first thing you did was get your art desk in there so you could start inking pages right away like Jack Kirby.
Oh, yeah. I told Lisa, I was like, you know, we're going to go from this apartment to the house, you know, in one day I'm going to have my studio set up. Anything else is extra.
Absolutely. I always end up doing that anyways, like when I move, like I don't say I'm gonna do that, but I can't help it. I have to have my place, my spot to work, you know.
That's a definite.
There'd be no pictures on the wall, and you know, all the other rooms will be boxes, but my studio's all set.
Yeah, so, like, you know, when we move into the house, it would be like, there'll be internet, so that won't be delayed. And
yeah, that's like the first thing.
Of some kind. Yeah.
Nice. So, basically we already started getting into the topic that I was thinking was basically basically being a professional artist and, you know, making a living doing this stuff. And I think it's really interesting because, like, with the marketing stuff that I'm always researching and whatnot, one of the biggest things that people talk about is you need to get connected with people who are doing what you want to be doing. And you need to, you know, find some kind of mentor or some people who, you know, can kind of teach you some things that know more about it than you and things like that. And like I said before, I kind of look to you and like Jeff Lafferty and all you guys is, you know, that it kind of dawned on me recently, like, you know, I'm thinking about, like, I always want to do this, and I'm like, oh, man, it's so hard. Like, nobody can ever do it. And then I'm, like, thinking, wait a minute, half of my friends do it. Why can't I do it? Like, because I kind of forget that you guys are actually kind of doing it. And one thing that I appreciate, especially with the Artcasters, you know, working hangout that Jeff Lafferty does, is it's like if anybody were to say I was applying for, you know, a job doing freelance art or comics or whatever, you know, which doesn't make any sense because you don't apply for that job. It just is. But, you know, say I was doing that, you know, the first thing you ask at a job thing is, okay, what's, you know, what is a day like, you know, a typical day at this job? What's it like? So you can get a feel. And, you know, I can see that every single day at Artcasters, you know. And, I mean, I know you guys are, like, talking about movies and things like that sometimes, but, you know, it just, you know, I've seen it through Jeff Lafferty's videos, and I've seen it just through your videos and just a lot of these guys' videos. It's not, like, it's the reality of it. It's not like, oh, yeah, become a freelance artist, quit your job, and, you know, it's going to be awesome. It's like, you know, it's pretty much just like a regular job. Sometimes you guys are kind of complaining, you know, a little bit about certain things, and you don't, like, feel like doing this. You'd rather be doing that. And so it's like it's a good dose of reality, but at the same time, you are doing something that you love, and you're, you know, providing for your household with it, you know?
Yeah. It's what I always say is, you know, no matter what you love, if you want to make a career out of it, you're going to have those days where you just, you don't want to get out of bed, you don't want to do anything with art, you just want to maybe go out, you want to, whatever. The good thing about being, you know, a freelance artist or working in comics is that you can make your own schedule. I mean, you can, at the drop of a hat, go out and see a movie or go shopping or, you know, go hang out with friends or whatever. You can, but you really have to have a good sense of, you know, just discipline and commitment to what you are doing because it's long hours. And as far as I'm concerned, you know, working on comics is a 7-day a week job, and, you know, especially if you're working with teams, you know, things are constantly in a state of, well, you know, I didn't get those 2 pages to ink, so I have to jump on another project to keep the money flowing, or, you know, it's constantly juggling and keeping in contact and communication with others. And making sure you're doing your quota. You know, if you got rent, that's a certain amount. If you got utilities, that's a certain amount. You got to make that money. And you know, if the penciler didn't get you 3 pages but got you 2, you got to make that other page up somehow. You know, you got to do a commission. You got to sell 20 prints, you gotta, whatever, you know, you gotta make sure that money comes in, and that's part of the job, you know, that's a big part of the job in the sense that, you know, I've known, in all my years of doing, working in comics, whether I was, you know, when I was really highly successful or just in the trenches of independent comics, not making as much or whatever. I was busting my ass 90% of the time just trying to get the next job. You know, it's not so much the jobs itself, it's getting to work.
Right.
And you do that, you know, 100 different ways. Sure, you talked about it a lot, like in relation to like freelance working. You know, you can get it simply by sending one person an email or 1,000 people emails, right. Or you can make phone calls, or you can go to conventions, or you can go to gatherings, or you can go to the comic store and just happen across a job, or, you know, you have to put yourself out there regardless of how you're doing it, and say, look, you know, I'm available, this is the quality of my work, you know, and you know, us being on YouTube, making videos all the time and showing off our work is a great way to do that. But it, you know, that doesn't guarantee you work either. It's going that will hire you, you know, in the sense of comics as publishers or, you know, teaming up with pencilers or writers. Whatever gets the job done.
Yeah, absolutely. Mm-hmm. So would you say that, you know, being on YouTube doing like this Artcasters thing all the time and all the other videos you've done has gotten you some gigs?
Maybe. I don't think I'm as much of a presence as some others just yet. I'm growing. You know, it's like I'm getting more subscribers and more views. There's, you know, people that I you know, talk with online weekly while I'm doing this. But no, you know, nobody's approached me and said, "I'm giving you this job because I saw you on YouTube." I think,
sure.
You know, I've been doing everything else for years and years longer. So this is kind of the recent thing, you know, for how long I've been doing it now, which is technically I'm not even sure. I started and stopped. Twice before I started doing this consistently. So I think it's only been 6 months. I don't know. Maybe it's been longer. I'm just losing track of time. But which is easy to do when you work 7 days a week.
Yeah. Yeah, no doubt. So let's see. I think it's like kind of a culmination, it seems like, of a lot of things. I think that's what I'm getting, at least from hearing you guys talk and all that, and some other. I also talk about the GTS movement, the guys who I work with as far as the marketing stuff with the beats and hip hop stuff. And what I'm finding is that, and this is something that always has been odd to me. Like, I'm like, okay, which direction should I go in? Okay, I don't want to just go into comics only because that's, you know, will that be able to pay the bills? Or maybe I should do commissions, but will that be able to pay the bills? Like, whatever it is, like, but what I'm finding out is it ends up being, a lot of times it ends up being like a combination of a lot of things that helps pay the bills. You know, you might get, you know, a commission here, you're doing some inking pages there, you got, you know, maybe some money coming in from different sources, and that's actually what ends up, you know, helping you actually make a living, and it's hard to see that, I think, you know, when you're like, I just want to make art for a living, you know, you don't think of how creative you have to be with getting your stuff out there in a lot of different ways, and also with just like contacting people, and then just all the different avenues to make money.
Yeah, you know, it's part of its choice. It's like you could focus all your energy on one thing and probably, you know, make yourself a hit. Like, you know, if all you did was like say like you're doing now, like you're doing paintings on YouTube, if that's all you did consistently, you know, and you can make that a living. You can make that what you do, you can master it, become an expert at it, and you know, you don't have to be on Facebook or Twitter. You could just be on YouTube. You can grow your channel. You just focus all your energy on that one thing and that one thing exclusively. You know, I think it could work for you. But like any business, you know, you go to McDonald's, you don't just buy a cheeseburger. Right. They have other things. You know, they're not like, you know, masters of one thing. You know, it's fast food. It covers a lot of territory. And they're constantly updating their menu. And you have to think, and, you know, they're not even exclusive to their store. You know, they do other things as well as a business, overall business. So, you know, we do YouTube, we Facebook, we do Twitter, we do prints, we do commissions, we do sketch cards, we do comics, we do comics for other people, we do comics for ourselves, we go to conventions, make money that way, we do store appearances, you know, I mean, the list is wide and varied, and, you know, I was just telling Lisa the other day, it's like, you know, I'm a bit psychotic in what I want to achieve, but that's what gets me excited. That's what gets me amped to you know, to challenge myself. Right. But if it was easy, then I'd be bored.
Right. Yeah, absolutely. That's cool. And yeah, I think it's important to have, you know, big goals and let your dreams be like real dreams and not just like, you know, I tend to do it. I don't, they say like, you know, really just like shoot for the stars, and if you get to the moon, you did pretty good, at least, you know, at least you did that. But you know, I tend to just be like, sometimes I think a little too small. But I do have the big dreams too, so I don't know. But I'm always just focused on, I want to make a living doing this, you know. But I don't know. But one thing that was really encouraging too, Gaz, what is his name? Gazbot. I know everybody calls him Gazbot, but like, what's his actual
name? I think it's Gary Grosky or something, something like that.
Cool. Yeah. Well, he commented on one of my videos, and he was talking, because I was talking about, you know, trying to, as I always do, trying to make a living doing this stuff, and he said something I thought was interesting, and I'm sure you can relate to, is, you know, basically, because I always talk about, well, maybe, you know, my skills aren't necessarily up to the levels of yours or like Jeff Lafferty's or something like that. But one thing he said that was really encouraging was, it's not really so much about the talent, it's more about, you know, being responsible, being an actual professional, and like meeting your deadlines and things like that. If you can do that, you'll be like head over heels, you know, above the competition, you know, because there's a lot of people who can't do that, which I haven't been able to do that sometimes myself, but
yeah, you know, I mean, everything's important, but definitely, yeah, keep a schedule, keep consistent, you know, trying to, you know, make those deadlines, as well as, but I constantly don't give up, you know, regardless of, like, you can miss deadlines, you can miss, opportunities, but if you constantly put yourself in the game and constantly keep working and constantly keep producing, then, you know, people know that, you know, it's like, there's the graph of, like, you know, things that will get you work in this industry, and you know, one of that is like, you know, do great work. You know, meet deadlines is probably the other one, and be a likable person. You know, so I've always been, like, try to do great work, and that's how people know me by. I try to be a nice person, and that's definitely worked in my favor. Deadlines, I'll be honest. Yeah, it's like sometimes I'm highly perfectionist.
Right.
But you know, it's always something I'm it's my personal demon I'm battle with. But definitely, like, you know, I think you got the talent. You know, if you just go forth with it, you'll be incredible. Just, you know, keep drawing, keep painting, and you know, I think you'll do fantastic work. And it's a matter of making a name for yourself, and, you know, doing what you're doing currently, 100 days of painting, that's a good start. You know, people know you as an artist online and in person. You know, I could see, like, maybe doing something above and beyond what you're doing. Maybe, like, a doing gallery openings. Like, what do illustrators do? What do painters do? You know, looking from it from a business standpoint, you know, how do you stand out, or how is your face in the public as an illustrator, as a painter?
Right.
And to make that consistent, like, you know, I've been doing comics for years. I let all my friends know. I let perfect strangers know, this is what I do for a living. Here, come check out my work. You know, it's like, I get gigs because people know I'm doing this.
Right.
You know, specifically to comics, and you know, that's kind of work. Yeah. Now, it's like, okay, I was working for DC, I was working for Marvel, but that was years ago. And, you know, if I tell a publisher that, they're kind of impressed, but because it was so long ago, nobody's, like, looking to give me sort of the rates I deserve.
Right.
You know, I haven't been really published regularly for years.
Right.
In the last 10 years, I've had numerous independent books come out. But, you know, nothing with consistency.
Right.
You know, I mean, you look at any great inker in the industry, they constantly have published work.
Right.
And just talking about it from a business standpoint is... Yeah, you just, that's where the proof is. That's, you know,
right.
You're constantly doing work, doing it well, and making a presence.
Right. Yeah, no doubt, man. So yeah, I appreciate the encouragement there, and you know, I think it is possible. I think that's what's kind of what I'm getting from kind of watching you guys is that it is possible. So I'm definitely excited about that. I think that for me, it's a big part of it too is watching you guys is kind of when you're working on the 9-to-5, like a regular day job for as long as I have, which has been my whole life, you know, hey, I'm 36 today. So, you know, 25 years or however long I've been working, you know, it's hard to even imagine yourself doing art for a living, you know, because the way you make a living is by, you know, doing whatever you do in your day job. So it's kind of your mindset kind of needs to change. So watching you guys, it's like, okay, now I'm seeing these guys do it, and if I can kind of imagine myself doing what these guys are doing, you know, it's starting to help me change that, because it's going to be kind of a hard transition. I mean, personally, I have to build up a transition where I'm at least making half or maybe three quarters of what I make, you know, doing what I do right now before I actually jump in, because, you know, there's no, like, quit my job tomorrow and start. Like, I have to have the ball rolling somehow, some way. I mean, even Jeff Lafferty, when he quit his job, it's not like he jumped in not knowing that, you know, thinking that he wouldn't be able to sell art. He's done it before, and he was already starting to do it with the paintings he was doing at the time, so.
Yeah, well, you know, he created the business running effectively to a certain point. You know, he knew it would be a risk. And if you listen to his first 50 videos.
Right.
You know, it's like he wasn't always sure. He wasn't always like, this is gonna work. And, you know, he never said that every video. It was like, well, this week I made some money and I hope to make some more to make my quota for the week, you know. So you have to have a certain amount of, yes, this is going to work. And you could pretty much set that up right now. If your goal is to make a living off of doing paintings, set, you know, if ultimately you quitting your day job and doing paintings and illustration and comics for a living, you'll need, say $500 a week.
Right.
You know, if you work at this part-time, weekends, whatever, and start making some money and build it up to $300, $400, I would think you'd be good to go. You know, you can make that leap.
Yeah.
Because you're more than halfway there. Knowing that ultimately that's your goal, if you take, you know, part of your day job money or part of the income you make now, selling any art or whatever, and build up a buffer, you know, like, I heard even before I did art, you know, for a living, that, you know, if you have 6 months, if you have a year of income, you know, put away, saved up. That was the way to go. I personally didn't do that. but it is a smart idea. I mean, there's ways to make it safe.
Right.
Or safer than just randomly, okay, it's Thursday, I'm going to quit my day job and shut in.
Man, I'm so tempted to do that sometimes. I'm like, some days, man, I'm just like, I'm like feeling like, could you please fire me because I'm done. But
yeah,
if they did, I'd be screwed. So, but yeah, absolutely. That's absolutely, you know, a good way of looking at it. You know, to try to make a transition and. Yeah, and that's making me think it's more possible. I mean, if I made $500 a week, I think that would actually do the trick because, you know, my check, I actually don't even make $400 a week, but that's, you know, before taxes or after taxes, I mean. So, you know, I kind of got to factor that in too. And then, you know, I have to do health insurance too. I can't, like... I don't have anybody else providing that for me, so, and that's something I right. absolutely need. I can't just like go without it, unfortunately. But so I think I'm gonna try to get into doing that independently, anyways, because I pay too much through my job, anyways.
There is a lot more to consider, and it's you know, there is that stuff and emergencies. I mean, you know, if you have a medical emergency. Your first week in, and right. you can't work the second week for whatever reason, you gotta have that buffer built in. Oh well, you don't have to have it, but you have to be aware of these things, either before or during. Like you know, just
right.
Stuff happens in life, you know, and it could ruin you. You know, it's like I've seen plenty of comic book guys. Especially who had great careers, then all of a sudden, you know, they have a medical issue, and 3 weeks later, you're hearing that they're losing their house,
wow,
or something. You know, it's like crazy stories, but it's reality. You know that you have to sort of. Just, you know, as a grown-up, deal with.
Yeah.
You know, having a day job sort of makes life easy for people. And you don't really realize that until you're in the thick of trying to create your own business, which right. is, you know, what being a freelance artist is. You know, yeah. you're a business, and you have to... be responsible for everything.
Yeah, absolutely. And so, I mean, that's kind of like the reality that I can see from you guys. And it's cool that I have that because, like, a lot of, you know, I'm sure a lot of, especially when you're young, and I was this way probably too when I was younger, you know, you kind of look at, you know, the idea of being a freelance artist or just being an artist for a living, and you're like, heck yeah, that's what I want to do. Like, it's so fun. I have so much fun drawing in my room when I'm, you know, not at school or not at work. You know what? It's going to be like the best thing in the world if I could do that. But in the end, it's work. And it's just as hard work as anything else. And to me, I've gotten that dose of reality. And what I also think is I'm going to be working hard and, you know, sometimes struggling or whatever, whether I'm doing art or not, so why not do it for art, you know? And another thing, too, is, like, a lot of people will say, well, that's not a very secure, you know, you want job security, you know, and stuff like that, but people don't realize it can actually be more secure to be a freelance artist than it is to, you know, have a regular, quote-unquote, day job, because when you're a freelance artist, you know, you have multiple clients and customers, and if you can get the money flowing, you know, from a lot of different areas, if one of those areas dries up, it's okay because you can just replace that by trying to, you know, you got to work for it, but if you can just find one more client, you know, you'll be back to where you were. Whereas if, you know, you're doing your day job and your one client that you have decides they don't want you anymore, you're out of a job, you know? So it's like you only got income coming from that one thing, you know?
Most definitely. It's... I think I might mention on Jeff's show, but I have a friend of mine, you know, before I started in comics, I worked 10 years, you know, part of it was when I was in college, I started working for a living, and then I went on, you know, I was a messenger who eventually worked myself into working in the mail rooms, to the point where I was, you know, in charge of a mail room. And it was a great experience, and you know, I went to art school and I went to college for art, and I decided, you know, halfway through what should have been 4 years of college that, you know, I really didn't want to do art for a living. It was too personal to me. It was too, you know, too something.
Right.
and I decided just to take any job, any regular job, and you know, messenger, I love to work, that made sense. Eventually working in Marrow, it's, you know, a lot of people look at it as grunt work, but it needs to be done, and I loved it personally because it was a lot of, well, what do you want, how can I help you? That's sort of how I approached my life anyway, so it was easy and fulfilling, you know. But it came one day that, you know, an opportunity, you know, and it was only like a one-night thing. It was, you know, helping my brother who was helping an artist, well, an inker, on a book to make their deadline. You know, I was just called on to fill in some blacks as a favor, but also as a way to make some money, extra money, and would I want to? And I jumped at the chance. Yeah, I needed some extra cash, but it was more like, you know, it was for comics. It was for a comic that would be published. Something, you know, I've only drawn and tried to make a couple of comics on my own previously. But it was that one experience that changed my whole lookout, you know, and I was 28 and I wasn't super committed to anything. You know, I was still in many ways a punk kid, just being selfish and doing my own thing and partying and whatever. With no real direction in life. Yeah, you know, like I made advances in my career and I've made more and more money. But still, there was a big piece of me that was like, where am I really going?
Right.
Yeah. Because it seemed like, yeah, while I was moving up the ladder, I was like, you know, going from mailroom gig to mailroom gig. I mean, how much further up the rungs can I go? You know, it was like I was changing jobs every 2 years, you know, to go to a different company to make more money. It wasn't like I was staying anywhere for long. So I made that leap. You know, with that one night of helping out, it was like, yes, art is my true love. Yes, I could see making this a living, And, you know, initially I did it part time. The decision happened that night, but going part time to full time was probably at least a year.
Right.
And it was a lot of being assistant. It was a lot of looking for jobs, which was a lot of, you know, putting together a portfolio of my work, you know, trying to get better. Because I knew day one of me deciding to do it that I wasn't good enough. You know, sure, I've been drawing all my life, but I wasn't, you know, I tried to do nice pieces in art school and whatnot, but I wasn't really committed for excellence.
Right.
I wasn't really, you know, where it was like a do or die situation.
Right.
And by doing it full time, it became that. You know, like if I didn't do enough, you know, a good enough job, if I didn't get it in a reasonable amount of time, if I wasn't, you know, a nicer guy than all the rest, and so on and so forth, you know, if I wasn't better for some reason, then I wouldn't get the next job.
Right.
You know, to be in that position, you know, changes your whole focus, makes you committed. You know, taking a leap really changed me.
Right.
As a person.
Well, they do say that, like I've heard a lot of people say that, you know, a lot of people sometimes lose their job and they're kind of forced into, you know, finding out what to do, and then, you know, they end up being like, well, you know, maybe this is my opportunity to, like, actually do what I've been wanting to do all my life. And, you know, I'm not saying that's what you exactly had, but, you know, I think, you know, you kind of got a taste of what it was like to be an artist, and then you were just like, yeah, this is it, this is what I'm going to do. And maybe you had a situation where you were able to kind of make that leap, and, you know, and then you get to a point, I guess, where you're like you said, like, now I have to do what I have to do to make this thing work. And I think that kind of need that, like, I have to do it or else, you know, like that sink or swim type of thing is sometimes really helpful.
Yeah, you know, and the good thing is that, you know, it doesn't always have to be that dramatic or that, you know, desperate or
right,
whatever.
Right.
You know, you can just really know what you want, and, you know, like you're doing, like, look upon the experience of others and how they're working and what works for them, and just make logical, smart choices and go for it.
Right.
And, you know, just an excellent example of somebody who's made that leap, like, quit his day job and is working for him, but he built an audience before he made that leap. It's grown since then. You know, he's making more money now. He's producing more now. But he had the framework ahead of time.
Right.
You know.
And, you know, he's like one of those people, like, kind of, I think of him, I think of people like Jonathan Rechter or something like that, where, you know, you would kind of be like, you see their artwork and you're like, you know, the typical thing that, that, you know, most non-artists say to artists is, wow, that's amazing. You should be make, you should do that, you know, make money doing that or whatever. Like, why aren't you doing that instead of whatever job you're doing? And it's like, I love that, you know, I see Jeff doing it. And like, the thing is like, I could easily look at Jeff's stuff and be like, well, yeah, of course he's doing it. Look at how amazing his art is. I'll never be that good, type of thing, you know. But in all reality, it's not necessarily, I mean, that's a big part of it, doing great work, but it's not necessarily that that is making him make a living, because there's a lot of artists out there who do have a level of finish that's similar or at least comparable to that, you know, and, you know, they're not able to make it work, you know, for whatever reason. But it's not the nuts and bolts of what has made it work for Jeff is building it up over time, you know, and creating that audience. And, you know, he always talks about, you know, that whole metaphor of like the locomotive, you know, you got to just kind of get the ball rolling. And once you get the momentum started a little bit, then you can start to kind of build off of that. And, you know, you kind of build an audience that way. And that's encouraging to me, you know.
Yeah, and, you know, it's, regardless of artistic level, there's a lot of people there that are, you know, like, make great decisions on what to do, how to do it, how to promote themselves. Like, careers are made overnight sometimes. And those are the lucky few, but, you know, like, I have a friend of mine, that he was the guy, along with his, friend partner, who did those, I don't know if you remember, they had, like, dinosaur t-shirts years and years ago with, their names, but they were all also sayings, you know. I don't know any dinosaur names off the top of my head.
Tyrannosaurus Rex or Brontosaurus.
Tyrannosaurus Rex, like Tyrannosaurus Burger. I don't know. It was like, it was kind of like silly and using their name and making it into something else, but it was a some good drawings of the dinosaurs on the t-shirt with the word and maybe the definition below it.
Right.
And those were, like, super hot. I mean, you know, he took that money and created his own comic book and used that money to, you know, pay for expenses. And, you know, he did a comic book called The Rat Bastard. Which is
I know that. I definitely know about that guy because I like his comic. I bought his comic.
Yeah, Cliff Gariff, I believe it is.
Is that his name?
Yeah. And you know, there's a guy. You know, he made his success by an idea that took off. You know.
Yeah,
and then followed it up, you know, with what he really wanted to do, which was a comic book.
Right.
And you know, so that was just like a random idea that worked for him and his partner, and did them really well. You know, I've seen a number of people who, you know, and Kevin Cross was one, and like who did t-shirt creations and made some good money off of them.
Right.
That's, you know, it's like you don't have to do the best art. Sometimes it's also like the idea behind it. You know, like Will Ferrell always says, you know, like what's important is the story. in the case of like the dinosaurs with the funny sayings, it's like, you know, it's humorous, humor sells, but it's also creating a little story unto itself by, you know, this silly way the name of the dinosaur is spelled, and the description below it, you know, it really created a unique sort of experience and something you show off to your friends. You know, everybody loves showing off their t-shirts.
Right.
You know, how silly they can be and whatnot.
Right. Yeah, no, there can be different steps, and yeah, that's something that's cool to think about too, because like I was saying, like, when you're not in the game, you have a hard time imagining how it will actually work. And, you know, obviously, like, from a young age, I was like, I want to be a comic artist, you know? And, like, I had no clue what I was talking about, though. But, like, you know, it just seemed like a fun job, and I love comics. So, but I think you're right. Like, the story behind it, like, you can find other avenues. And I don't know, that was just one thing. But then also, like, I guess as you become more on a professional level, like you're making a living or whatever, I think you get less picky, like, about, like, where, how the money comes from, like, and also, like, the whole idea of I don't know, like, people in some circles, you know, being a sellout is like a big deal, and it's like artists can be like really harsh on each other for what they do, you know, like, oh, you're only doing that because it's making money. But when you're doing this stuff for a living, you're like, yeah, that's the point. Like, I don't really care. Like, you know, I mean, obviously you want to keep a level of, you know, artist integrity and stuff, which, you know, but there's a lot of things that just really, it's not even an issue of integrity, but when, you know, when you're not a professional artist, you might think, like, everything is, I guess. But, like,
it's definitely easy to say. Like, yeah. When you're young, it's like, I'm going to do this and only this, and it's going to be, you know, only in a certain way. You know, I'll never draw a nudie. I'll never, you know, you can make a whole list. And it's like, that's like when you're young and you're living in a black and white world. And,
right.
You know, but when you're adult and you have responsibilities, you know, it may be as simple as you only have yourself and your apartment, your roof over your head. Or you could have a full-fledged family where you have a wife and kids and pets and a home and a boat and who knows what. You know, either way, it's like you got to make the rent. You gotta feed yourself or your family. You gotta, you know,
right,
cover all your bases. Take responsibility for everything. And so doing, you know, doing t-shirt art or I don't know, having a client to hire you for lunchbox art, or, you know, it's like, right, things you never dream of doing.
Yeah. But, you know, it's just like...
When you
Sorry, go ahead.
Just going to say, like, you know, when you're first starting out and you're young and eager and say, I'm going to be a world-famous painter, you know, or right, whatever.
Yeah, and, like, you know, Jersey has always said, you know, he always talks about, you know, writing the great American novel, like, that's how we tend, before we really know what we're doing, we tend to kind of approach comic books that way before you kind of realize the realities of how hard it is to even create something good, let alone, you know, and the thing is you don't focus on making the great American graphic novel or whatever. You just got to make good work, and those people who have done that, I think they were just working artists, and it just happened, you know. You can't really plan that. So, and the whole integrity thing is like, I don't know, like, it does. I mean, there's a difference between, like, maybe it's more integrity for you, like you said, you got to do your responsibilities. You have a kid you're taking care of. So, you know, if you do that, you know, lunchbox job or whatever, isn't more integrity to take care of your family? You know, why, what's wrong with doing some art? That's the whole point. You want to do some art and make a living off of it. Like, I mean, it's just kind of silly, you know. It gets kind of silly when people, you know, say you're a sellout for certain things or whatever.
Yeah. It's absolutely important just to take it seriously and as a career and to really go for it and make a living off of it and not shy away from things, to consider everything, all avenues that you can make money. And you know, I was very limited, you know, for the first part of my career. I was, you know, I was a comic book inker and that's all I was doing. You know, I did conventions and I did sketches there, but that was before internet, so you know, I didn't really put myself out there other than inking comics. And I paid for it later on when Marvel and DC no longer had anything for me. It was a big struggle to make that same kind of money.
Right.
You know? To, you know, it's like all of a sudden I'm making a third what I made, and if I want to make what I was making, I have to work three times as hard, and that's impossible because I'm not that fast an inker.
Right.
You know,
and then it kind of all came when, like, the whole comic crash type of stuff started happening.
Yeah, it was a combination of everything. I mean, timing and whatnot. You know, there was 9/11, which changed a lot of things. There was computers coming up, which changed a lot of things later on.
Right.
There was less people using inkers. There was rates shrinking, which was part of the whole, you know, comics not selling as much. Less comic book stores. I mean, you know, you can go on, but you know what? Comics were thriving back then. Comics are still thriving.
Right.
You know, if you're just looking at the numbers or whatever, and you know, you're not looking at the big picture. You know, It's a different world nowadays, and just like, you know, car makers of the 50s and 60s not making as many cars today or whatever, it's because things change,
right.
And you have to be able to adapt, and that extends into what we're talking about. Like, you gotta diversify at least a little bit in order to survive.
Right.
Be willing to put yourself out there in as many ways as possible. That is part of the work, you know, if you want to be successful.
Absolutely. Cool. Cool, cool. Well, yeah, I think we kind of dove into that topic pretty well and stuff. You know, definitely got into some of the nuts and bolts of what it's like to, you know, kind of do the freelance thing, and definitely some cool stuff in there. So, I guess we can kind of end it there. That was kind of a good way to end it. And you know, again, I appreciate you coming on. And you know, you've always been an awesome support to me, and I've seen to many others as well. And So, like, I really appreciate that, and just seeing you guys, you and Jeff and stuff, like, make it happen and work it out is huge encouragement. And so thank you for that.
And thank you so much for having me on. I forget what an appearance this is on your show.
Yeah.
At least my third. I'm a big fan of what you do, and you're putting yourself out there, and you're encouraging others. And you know, I see the same in you, and you know, you're a super talented guy. I hope that the day comes when you say screw you to the day job, and for you to live the life, you know, that you really, really want, and that you do it in safety, and that it works for you.
Absolutely.
You know. Yeah,
that'll be a day to celebrate. For sure. Cool, man. So, again, you know, like I said, I appreciate you being on here, and all the people listening, you know, please, you know, go help the guy out. You know, they got... It's just a good way to invest in another artist. I think one of the big things is we need to help each other out, and that's one thing that's really cool about the comic book community. It's always been, outside of obviously a few people here and there, you know, that you hear like stories at conventions or whatever, but outside of that, like, for the most part, the comics community is pretty awesome. Like, we all realize how hard it is, you know, to try to make it doing this stuff, and I think that contributes to it, and a lot of people are very willing to help other people out as far as when it comes to from artist to artist and stuff like that. And you know, this is a great opportunity to help another fellow artist out, and the link is in the show notes. Even now I already put it in there, but once it gets uploaded, it'll be there. It'll be on my site, donkeyjawprojects.com. And it's also in the YouTube show notes. So, you know, stop over to his GoFundMe, Peter's GoFundMe thing, and help a brother out. You know what I mean? And it also, you know, if you could share it, you know, even if you can't, you know, put down some money, if you could share it, or also if you would like to donate some art, you know. You know, I'm sure you could message Peter, and he'll be more than willing to, you know, have that be something to help. Because tomorrow, I guess I didn't really mention it exactly, but tomorrow, Monday, they're going to be kind of launching that, I think, on the Artcasters. And there's going to be a list of a bunch of different artists donating some art that were the, you know, they'll just have their own eBay thing, and that money will go towards the GoFundMe initiative.
Yeah, that was really an idea Jeff came up with. You can be a part of that. Anybody's interested, we can continue to do it after. It's just another way to bring money to the campaign and definitely help us out. But yes, starting tomorrow, I'm going to be posting artwork that you can bid on and hopefully buy, and all those funds will be going to the campaign and to that. And yeah, I mean, you know, it also helps that, you know, if you see any of those posts, share those posts, and get the bids up, that's an improvement too.
Yeah, absolutely, and it's a great way to contribute if you don't have much money. And I'm going to be doing both. You know, I already threw in a little cash in there, but, you know, I know I could probably make more for the cause, you know, by donating some art, so I'm going to try to do that as well. So
thank you, everybody, ahead of time.
Absolutely. All right, so I guess that's it, guys. Thank you, guys, everybody, for listening. And, you know, Peter, you know, just mention your websites and all that. And like I said, the links will be in the show notes.
Yeah, well, I'm on YouTube, Peter Palmiotti. Facebook, I'm Peter Palmiotti. I have my fan page, which is growing. It's Peter Palmiotti, artist, writer, is the, what is it, URL. I'm on Twitter, I'm on Pinterest, you know, everywhere. Just Google Peter Palmiotti, you'll find me. And yes, I got to get my website up, and that will happen.
Right. Yeah, everybody's always got to update their website, me included.
Yes.
Yeah. All right, cool, man. So, yeah, that's about it, guys. Thanks again for watching. And, you know, this is episode number 70. And here, Marshall Couture signing out of DonkeyJawProjects.com. See you guys next week. where's the button?